Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. If you would you stand where you are? And let's read the scriptures together as we begin to stir our hearts toward... God's going to speak to you today. Are you okay with that? God's going to speak to you today. And He's going to speak to you in His Word, and He might even speak to you through the church. And here's some scriptures for you. Ready? Jesus, night before He died, He's speaking with His disciples, and He says, John 14:27, peace. Peace. The word shalom, it means peace. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Boy, isn't that a good verse? Romans 5:21, I love this one. Therefore, since you've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Don't forget to be thankful, right? Now, how about Matthew, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called children of God. Romans 12:8 is a great one. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for everything that you've given us today. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice toward us. Thank you that your eyes are upon us this morning, that you know all of us by name. You created us in your image. You created all things, and in you all things hold together. Lord, we are blessed to live in a country called the United States of America. We're blessed to be in a place of freedom. Lord, we're thankful we can gather this morning in a room without being arrested. We can pray in the name of Jesus without being thrown in jail. We're grateful for so many things, God. Thank you for the clothes on our back. And thank you, God, for the food in our stomachs. Thank you, Lord, for the homes, the places we get to call home. God, thank you for the people you surround us with that love us. And God, in the world of chaos, we're grateful for peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
We start off this morning. Some of you may be seated. Probably a lot of you knew, we had a family member in our church whose nephew was actually trapped in Afghanistan in Kabul. And we've been praying for this individual, a very nice young man I was so grateful to hear last night, he finally got out. He got out last night and he's out of Afghanistan. So praise God. Talk about the opposite of peace real quick. You know, we at Woodbridge are beginning to find out that there's quite a few Afghan refugees that have fled the airport in Kabul and thankful to God out with their lives and their landing here in LAX, actually, with just the clothes on their back. And some of them are children without parents. It's a mess. I don't know if you watched the news lately, but the world's a mess. As we're finding out about these refugees, and as we find out more about them, we're going to do our best to try to provide whatever we can for these people, clothes, sanitation. We'll be emailing you for you at this church. If there's ways, I want to try to find the size of these kids and see if we can get them clothes and toys or whatever it might be. Can you imagine what they've been through? Mess. We'll be keeping you posted on this. As followers of Jesus, we're called to love people, right? Let's love these kids and let's love these families as best as we can. It's unfolding very quickly. I talked with an official in our city and they're like, hey man, they're landing at LAX and the thing is feds first. You know, the feds are trying to be there, but these people, their whole lives have been destroyed. So we have a police officer in our city of Irvine who was a young man that got out of Afghanistan during the Russian invasion. And he came here as a refugee, and now he's one of our best police officers in our city. Nice guy. I don't know if he got out with his family or not, but it's just a mess. Hey, so I just want you to know, it's what's going on, it's what's happening. And thank God for this country. It's not perfect, but aren't you glad to be here today? There's a lot of places I know I don't want to be. Okay, so FYI. Watch your emails and we'll let you know what's happening, what's going on with that. So, quiz for you this morning. Quiz for you this morning. Put on quiz hat. Ready? What does Star Wars, the Indiana Jones trilogy, Air Force One, Patriot Games all have in common? Anyone know? Who? Harrison Ford. Pastor Frank's one of my favorite actors, a guy named Harrison Ford. I love Harrison Ford. I don't know who your favorite actor is. Harrison Ford's one of mine. He's up there. Indiana Jones, probably my favorite movie, the first one, when they're trying to get the Ark of the Covenant, man. And Indy's not a believer in God, but he becomes one later on. It's kind of cool. After the last, like, I remember watching this, and it so struck me, and I was watching an interview with Harrison Ford, and it was right after one of his last movies, and they were, this interviewer had put up all the movies that he had done, and it's like 20-plus movies, and the interviewer says, "You've done all this. Is there anything you don't have?" Good question, right? And it kind of caught Harrison off guard, and he kind of thought about it, and he looked up toward the ceiling, and he says, "I don't have peace. 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 The one thing I don't have is peace." And it struck me. And it seems to be a theme with a lot of people, certainly, that have lots of wealth and fame. A lot of them don't have peace. And it's caused me, I mean, obviously, do you see much peace in the world, anyone? Do you see much peace in our country these days? Do you see, do you watch the news? There's geopolitically, there's no peace. Socially in our country, there doesn't seem to be much peace. There's no political peace, much of any place. Racial peace. The word peace, it's the Hebrew word shalom, and Jesus used it all the time, peace. Peace can be defined as harmony and absence of hostility, or freedom from disturbance or tranquility. Freedom from disturbance and tranquility, to find tranquility, to find peace. Harrison Ford doesn't have any peace. Here's my question, do you have peace? Does peace rule in your heart? Do you have peace? If you're a Christian, you have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith," it's like, just justified means it's like we had never done anything wrong. I like that. "Therefore, you've been justified through faith in what? In Christ. Since you've been justified by faith, we have peace with God." That's a beautiful thing. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus on the cross, right, takes away our sins. And through Christ, we have peace with God. And it's a beautiful thing. We just finished the book of Colossians. And I just want to read this again. Colossians 1, 19 through 22 says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell on Jesus," right? "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God," did you know that? "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight." Did you know that you're without blemish? Did you know that you're free from accusation? That's called peace, brothers and sisters. We have been reconciled to God. We've been forgiven. We've been adopted as children of God. We have peace with God. Is that big?
That's huge.
It's huge. Makes you kind of want to dance, doesn't it? There are people all over the world trying to, they realize that they're messed up. Shame is a big, everybody knows that God's, you know, this is the theme of the Bible. See, God's holy and you're not. And you offend him in word and action and thoughts and deeds. He's holy and you're not. This is all through the scriptures. God manifests himself as a holy God. And you can figure it out pretty quick. He's holy and we're not. And there's separation. And yet Jesus on the cross Behold the Lamb of God who takes away Frank Wynan's sin and yours. And we accept what Jesus takes punishment of our evil behavior so we don't have to. It's called peace with God. And because this is true, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I like this. In Colossians 3:15, I've been meditating on this verse. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, did you know that you were called to peace? And be thankful. I've been trying to stir this in. I had to turn off the news. I don't know about you. It's just depressing. Person in our staff said they were watching the news this week. They just broke down crying in front of the TV. It's sad what's going on in the world. Amen. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, when I see a mess and chaos all over the world, and yet peace of Jesus is supposed to rule in my heart. And what does that? I have peace with God. If you want to take notes with you this morning, here's the first note. And write this down. It says, true peace begins with you and your Creator. If you want peace, it starts with you and God. You're never going to have peace in this world until you have peace between you and God. Are you and God okay with each other? God wasn't okay with you until Jesus showed up. God was not okay with you. You were alienated from God. That's why He sent His Son. Behold, right? For God so loves the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on Him shall not perish, but have the everlasting life. If you don't have peace with God, you're never going to have peace. It begins with God. And friends, this peace is everything. It's everything. Outside of Jesus in your life, God is not okay with you. That's a spiritual truth. Outside of Jesus in your life, God is not okay with you. Outside of the work of Jesus happening in your life, God is not okay with you. You are separated, alienated from God because of your evil behavior. You're just separate. But because of Jesus, you've been reconciled to God, and God has peace. You have peace. You are one. You've been forgiven. You've been reconciled. You've been cleansed. God and you are good in Jesus. Did you know that? It's almost like when God sees you, He sees you through this, the robe of Christ. You've been wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus, the holiness of Jesus. You've been redeemed and forgiven and adopted. God the Father is okay with you in Christ. You're to allow this to be stirred in. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Do you have peace? Jesus, help us to have the peace of Christ to rule in our lives. That's awesome, isn't it? Okay, so I have peace with God. Do you have peace with God? In Christ you do. I find that there's a trickle-down effect. This is my experience. The more I have peace with God, and the more Him and me, I stir in who Jesus is and what He's done for me. It's a trickle-down effect. I begin, in my journey, it's like the more I got that centered, I began finding peace with me. Do you have peace with you? Are you okay with you? When you look in the mirror, do you see you? Are you good with you? Are you comfortable in your own skin? There's so many people in the world that are cutting themselves and mutilating themselves. A child, they don't like themselves. And this, as a Christian, do you realize that once God's good with you, that you need to be good with you? Did you know there's only one of you, that you are unique and special and wonderfully made? Did you know that if you were the only one on planet Earth, God would have come and saved His Son just to save you? Did you know that you're special on this planet? There's only one of you. There's only going to be one of you in all eternity. It's you. You are unique, valuable, special to God. Are you good with you? Because the more I found out how I'm good, God is good with me, I learned to start being good. You know, there's times in my life and I would get mad at myself. The person I struggle the most to forgive is me. And I remember one time God just in my own heart just saying, Frankie, I've forgiven you from the cross. Who do you think you are? You can't forgive you? Who do you think you are? Are you more than God? oh, it just rocked me. I'm like, God, I find myself saying, I forgive you, Frank. Get up and do better. Are you good with you? Peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you have peace with yourself. Did you know that Jesus calls you to be peacemakers? Blessed are the peacemakers. He calls you to be ambassadors of peace in a world that's a mess. Have you noticed the world's a mess? It's a mess. God calls you to peace with Him. God calls you to peace with yourself. God calls you in as an ambassador of peace to bring the peace of the good news of Jesus into the world. And do you know that God calls you to be at peace with other people as much as it's up to you? Here's a great, this is a great verse. Romans 12:18. If, I like it starts off, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Are you at peace with everyone? Is there people in your life that, have you found peace? I mean, I have peace with God. I get peace. I'm trying to, man, peace with other people. Is it always possible? No. The scripture says, make sure, okay, if you don't have peace with another person, make sure that's not because of you. Be at peace with all people as much as it's up to you. See, we as a church has finished going through the book of Colossians, right? And when Paul writes Colossians, I got to tell you a story this morning because we're going to look at the book of Philemon. The Apostle Paul, you know his story. He's in Rome. He's waiting for trial. He's waiting to, he's been arrested. He's under house arrest. He's waiting to make an appeal to the emperor. He's a Roman citizen, and he's in prison in Rome, and he hears, obviously, about churches planting up, and there's this church that popped up in Colossae through a guy named Epaphras. And Epaphras planted a church in Colossae, and somehow Epaphras made his way to Rome, and he's talking with Paul, and he tells Paul about this church and what's happening down in Turkey, and Paul writes the letter of Colossians. Have you ever read it? Great book. Really good book. Paul's in Rome, and he's sharing Christ, and somehow he runs into a kid named Onesimus. And Onesimus and Paul somehow meet in Rome. And Paul preaches Christ to this person, and this person accepts Christ. And as Paul is sharing this guy, and Onesimus is hanging out with Paul, and he's growing in the Lord, and he's actually ministering to Paul and all this, Epaphras says, Paul, come here. That guy, Onesimus, he's a runaway slave from a person in Colossae who's a leader in the church. Say problem. 1, 2, 3. Ready? 1, 2, 3. That's a problem. That's a problem. See, here's the situation. In the days of Rome, slavery was common. It happened all over the place. It was integrated into its society. Approximately one-third of the first century Roman population was made up of slaves. And this happened through a multitude of waves. It happened through military conquest, when the Romans would capture another province and they would defeat the armies. Those armies would, these soldiers that fought would be sold as slaves throughout the Roman world. This is what happened to the Jews in 70 AD. They rebel against Rome. Rome comes down, destroys the temple, as Jesus said would be. And Jesus says there'll be a great deportation of the Jews. And it happened again in 70 AD. See, Jesus understands the future. He knows what's about to happen. The Jewish people were taken as slaves throughout the Roman world. They were deported out of their nation, and their nation ceased to exist for 2,000 years until, as Jesus said, the nation would be reestablished again. The Romans, when they defeated people, they made them slaves throughout the Roman world. So it happened through slavery. There was this thing called indentured servants. In the days of Rome, if you got in radical debt and you couldn't pay off your debts, you became slave to the person that you owe money to until you paid off your debts. It's like credit cards, I guess. Indentured servants, right? You can't pay your debt, you're a slave. In the days of Rome, you could buy slaves. Just like in America before the Civil War in the South. It was just a common occurrence. It happened. And Paul doesn't overtly challenge the slavery system, nor did he sanctify it as a part of God's blessing. Slavery just existed, and he addresses it so much in his epistles. Slavery existed back then. By the way, slavery exists all over the world today. Africa, there's still slaves. In Asia, I mean, we as human beings have issues. I don't know if you've heard that before, but it's true. Paul, when he writes the church of Colossae in Colossians 3:11, he says, here in Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile. There's no circumcised or uncircumcised. There's no barbarian or Scythian. There's no slave. There's no free. But Christ is all and is in all. We're all one. We're equal in Jesus. One people. There's no division in the body of Christ. Paul, I love what he says in 1 Corinthians 7:21-22. He says, were you a slave when you were called? Were you a slave when you became a Christian? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, go for it. Man, much better to be free. Do I hear an amen? For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. I'm free in Christ. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. Paul says that no matter what your station in life is, you are free in Christ. And check this out, you are owned by Christ, who is your life. Paul addresses slavery. It existed. So he finds out that he's preaching Jesus, and this kid Onesimus, Onesimus was a slave in Colossae. His slave owner was a guy named Philemon. I don't know why he's his slave. And one day he steals from this dude in jets. And he makes it all the way from Turkey to Rome. That's a long jet, wouldn't you agree? And by chance, he meets Paul. Paul preaches in Jesus. This kid accepts Christ, born again. Everything's great. He's ministering to Paul until one day Epaphras is there. He goes, that's Philemon's slave, runaway slave. Everybody say problem. Problem. That's a problem. Hey, Paul, I need to talk to you. And he tells Paul. I can see his eyes get real big. Oh, brother. Right? So what's Paul now to do? Did you know that it's the law that if there's a runaway slave, you're to report them to the authorities? What's Paul to do? He's already in jail. He's already in jail waiting to give an account of Jesus before the emperor. Could you see, I'll just hide him. That's against the law. He's already got problems. I could see Paul going, what's the right thing to do? What would you do? It's a mess. Paul prays. Have you ever been in a situation where you just don't know what to do? You just pray. God, what's the right thing to do? Hide? Run away? Go? What do you do? And he prays. And Paul, as he writes the book of Colossians, it's a public letter written to the church at Colossae that meets in Philemon's house. He also writes a personal letter to Philemon. And he tells Onesimus, I need you to go home and make this right. You're a Christian. Take this letter and hand this letter to Philemon. Have you ever read Philemon? It's just one chapter in the Bible. It's a private letter between Paul, the apostle, and Philemon. And so, we're just going to read this morning because this thing's brilliant, man. This is a brilliant letter. I can imagine Onesimus, he goes back, you know, there's a delegation of people that Paul sends the epistle of Colossians with. And Onesimus is one of the delegation. And yet I'm sure that this letter was given to Philemon before the church read the letter to Colossae because there was things that needed to be dealt with. And one day, there's a knock on Philemon's door, and he opens the door, and behold, guess who's there, everybody? Philemon. No, it's Onesimus. My runaway slave, he stole from me. What did he steal? What's this? What's that? And he's standing there. Can you imagine what was going through Philemon's mind? Onesimus is standing there, and I bet he wasn't alone. I bet there were some people that were with him, too, that Paul had sent this group with. And Onesimus hands him a letter. You need to read this. And I see Philemon at the door of his house with all these emotions. And all of a sudden he reads this. Philemon chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Picture this. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker. Crud, the Apostle Paul's writing me a letter. Can you imagine? Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, that's his wife, and to Archippus, some think it might be Philemon's son, maybe he's a leader in the church, he sounds like maybe he's the worship leader, you know, maybe he's Pastor Vince and Josh Arnaldo, right? Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see Philemon's jaw drop? I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers, says the Apostle Paul about this young person, or Philemon, because I hear of your love. How did he hear of his love? He heard of it through Epaphras. I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. There's good things in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Through you, brother. Is this a great letter? Do you think this is defusing the situation as Philemon just reads this? Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Can you picture Philemon reading this letter? Paul's writing me a letter. If you study these first 9 verses, it's brilliant. Here's a conflict between brothers. And it's a big conflict. It's of life and death importance. There's a conflict between brothers, between Philemon and Onesimus. God says to be at peace with all people is as much as it's up to you. How do you bring that principle into the first century? Paul was sitting there looking at this going, problem. And he says, this is how I'm going to fix, this is how God's going to work in this problem. And he sends him back and he says, face your past sins, Onesimus. And he hands him and he says, Philemon, hi, I'm Paul. I honor you, Philemon, as my brother in Christ. I honor you for who you are and what you're doing and how God is working in your life. He honors Philemon as a brother in Christ. Take notes of me this morning. Note number 2, in verses 1 through 9, Paul honors Philemon as a brother in Christ. He honors him. Do you think that this reading this was defusing the situation immediately? Do you realize, like, I mean, this is a big deal. Paul writes a letter and he's defusing the situation. I'm sure Philemon's just, wow, right? Paul honors this person in the first paragraph, and then he begins talking about what's going on between these two. He clarifies the situation. Listen to this. Philemon 1, 10 through 20. He honors Philemon and he says, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. That means he's been saved in my imprisonment. Whom formerly was useless to you, but now he is both useful to you and to me. I have sent him back. I have sent him back to you in person. That is, sending my very heart. Do you see how Paul's just blocking this guy? Man, when I'm sending to you, Onesimus, I'm sending my very heart. Whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever. How long will Philemon and Onesimus be together for, everyone? Forever. Who did that? Jesus in both of their lives. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me a partner, can you hear that? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, he writes half the New Testament. Philemon is a leader in the church. He's accepted Jesus. Epaphras is... And Paul says, if you consider me a partner with you, are you kidding? You're the apostle by Christ. If you regard me a partner, that's an understatement. Accept him as you would me. Is this a brilliant letter, everyone? I want you, as you accept Onesimus, be it like you've accepted me. This is brilliant, man. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to my account. I, Paul, check this out, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Paul says, I'll pay his debt. Oh, not to mention that you owe to me even your own self as well. I think that's interesting. Hey, I'll pay his debts. Oh, FYI, Jesus has paid all your debts, and I'm the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your eternity comes because of the ministry that Christ has given me to you. I'll pay whatever this guy is. I'll pay for his freedom. I mean, it's a chunk of change, FYI. Oh, by the way, you owe me everything. I love this brilliant letter, friends. This is a brilliant letter. Yes, brother, Paul says, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. First paragraph, he honors him. Philemon, my brother in the Lord, I honor you and praise God for you. And look what God's doing in your life. Second paragraph, I appeal. Here's the situation that's going on here. Let me bring clarity with what's going on. I could see Philemon reading this and looking up and going, Onesimus, you're a Christian? Onesimus, you're a Christian? Oh, no way! Brother in Christ! No way! This is awesome. And you've been ministering to Paul? You met him? I haven't even met him. You met him? And Paul's writing me a letter on behalf of you. Philemon is probably just like, you got to be kidding me. He did not know this was going to happen when he had breakfast that morning. This is amazing, right? Paul, there's conflict between brothers. And look how Paul masterfully just deals with conflict. Be at peace with all people as much as it's up to you. Well, there's conflict between two people and they're both believers. Paul says, let me work on this. You go back. Onesimus, deal with you guys are brothers now in Christ, and Philemon needs to know that you're his brother in the Lord. I'll cover you. This is amazing. Take notes with me. Note number 3, in verses 9 through 20, Paul brings clarity to the conflict and seeks resolution and reconciliation. Paul just writes out, this is what's going on between you guys. Here's the problem. He's your brother, and here's resolution. Man, I'll pay for anything he's done. Accept him back. And you know what? Paul was asking Philemon to go counterculture. To go counterculture. I need you to accept him back, equal with you, child of God, and I'll pay for it. Note number 3. Paul asks Philemon to go counterculture and accept Onesimus back as an equal brother in Christ. That's radical. Radical for the day. Radical for the day. Man, how do you defuse the institution of slavery? I mean, it's always from the heart, man. This is your brother in Christ. I need you to accept him back equal with you as your brother. Radical, man. Radical. This is what Paul honors him. He states what's going on, and this is what I need you to do. And by the way, I as an apostle can order you to, but I'm not going to. This needs to be done on your own free will. Not under compulsion, but voluntary. Do you see what's happening here? And I love it how Paul says, maybe this is why God did this in the first place. He left you because all this would be, right? This is radical. And then he ends the letter. You ready? He ends the letter. Verses 21 through 25, Paul writes, I have confidence in your obedience. This is brilliant, man. I have confidence in your obedience. I write to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time also, prepare me lodging, for I hope through your prayers that I will be given to you. And I plan on following up this letter. I plan on staying at your house. Prepare my room. Paul, that says a lot. I think Paul knew that he was going to be let out of prison in Rome. And on my to-do list, I plan on visiting you and see how all this is working out. This is brilliant. I have confidence in your obedience. I write to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say. And at the same time, also prepare lodging. For I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, right? He's the one who planted the church at Colossae. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. And he ends and says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Note number 5, take notes with me. In verses 21 through 25, Paul honors him again and prays for a time to talk about this face to face. I call this a Philemon. This is how God used Paul to deal with a relational conflict between brothers and the Lord Jesus in a very, very serious manner in the first century. I, as a Christian, have learned to love the book of Philemon. And it's not a book, it's just one chapter. It's the only private letter that we really have of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. There's this public letter and a private letter. And he writes this to deal with conflict between two brothers in the first century. When I look at this and I read this, I'm like, this is brilliant. Here's a circumstance, and Paul deals with this circumstance, and he writes a letter. And in the letter, in the first paragraph, he honors his brother. And when I first read it, I thought, man, he's fluffing him up. And then I read it again. No, he's not fluffing it up. This is how he really feels about this guy. I honor you, brother, and what's going on in your house, and the good things, and the encouragement. I mean, he honored him. He honors him. I just want you to know, the apostle says, you're my brother in Christ, and I hear what's going on, and I thank God for you, and I mention you in my prayers. And I mean, Philemon has to feel honored. He honors him. And then in the next paragraph, he deals with the circumstance. Hey, man, here's what's going on. Here's clarity to this situation between you and him. And this is a life or death situation, FYI. Here's the clarity. And then Paul says, this is how we fix this. And I'm asking you to do certain things. And FYI, I'll pay. Paul says, I'll fork the bill. And then in the third paragraph, he says, I honor you again and let's talk about this in person. I call it the Philemon. It's a brilliant letter. I feel like Paul totally cheated when he wrote this, that he asked the Holy Spirit to help him. And he did. I could see Paul going, this is a problem. No way. What am I going to do? Run. Wait, he can't run. Wait, I'm under obligation to report him. Wait, how do I fix this? I need to pray. Have you ever prayed for you? You ever put a hand on you and say, Lord, help me? Father, I pray for Frank. Help Frank to figure out how to work this out and figure this out. Have you ever prayed for you? I know Paul prayed. And the Holy Spirit said, you face this, write him a letter, and Holy Spirit wrote this letter. I think Paul cheated. He wrote this letter in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've used this so much in my life. These principles in Philemon is Pastor Frank. I don't know if you've realized this, but when you become a Christian, everything's not right with the world. You still get a ticket, and you still get a cold, and you still, if you didn't study for your test, you can still fail it, even if you, I mean, you come to the church and you think the church is just filled with harmony and everybody loves one another and there's no problems. Did you know there's no problems in the church? There's none. We're all perfect in here. Not. You realize that all of us are under construction. All of us are in this what's called progressive sanctification. I want to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. I need to learn and grow to be a Christian. And there are things that I say I wish I hadn't said. There's the things I do I wish I hadn't have done. There's things I did as even as a pastor. I'm going, man, I didn't do that well, you know. I learn and grow, and so are you. And there's conflict at times in the church. And I've had conflict with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And I hate it. Be at peace with all people as much as it's up to you. In my life, I've learned to write Philemons. When I have a conflict with a brother or sister in Christ, I write a Philemon. I write a letter, and I break it up into paragraphs. First paragraph, I just honor them. Dear blank, you know, I just want you to know that I'm grateful that you and I are children of God, made in the image of God. And we are brother or sister in Christ, and we're going to spend eternity together. And the same blood that washes me clean washes you clean. And I thank you and honor you. And I just want to honor them. This is what's true. Someday we're going to be in heaven. I hope we can work this out here and not there, right? And then the next paragraph, I write a letter. Man, this is what I see in this conflict. This is what happened. This is what I see. And this is how I feel. I state it. I realize I don't have total truth. Maybe what I see isn't what you see. But we have a problem. You and me have an issue. And this is how I see the issue, and this is what's going on with it. And I want to work this out. Last paragraph, I honor you. And I praise God for you. And I ask that the Holy Spirit will help us to get on the other side of this. Can we bring clarity to this? I call them Philemons. I write letters to people. And you know what's so beautiful about a letter? You can't fight with a letter. You can't scream at a letter or yell at a letter. But you know what? What you write, you can never take back. That means you better pray about writing that letter before you write it. Do I hear an amen? God has used Philemons in my life so often in bringing peace between me and other people. And I might get a letter back from them. Maybe it's a mean letter at first, and then they read it again, and they're like, I see your... I'm sorry. I get all that. And there's times... where I've seen, do you have problems with anybody?
No, no.
Do you have peace between you and God? I hope you do. I hope you know Jesus. If you've accepted Christ, God's cool with you. I hope that from the cross and you realize that God's cool with you, you can begin to be cool with you, yourself. If God's cool with me, can I be cool with me? Did you know that you're called to be peacemakers in the world and you're called to be at peace with all people as much as it's up to you? The world needs more peace. Do I hear an amen? Man, if there's somebody in your life that you don't have peace with, have you tried to reconcile it? Have you ever tried to just deal with the situation? Hey, I get it. I mean, there are toxic people in the world. And the best way you win with a toxic person is don't play. Walk away. They've got issues. You try. If you don't have peace with another person, is that because of you or because of the other person? Do you know that God calls you to be at peace? Family members? Church family members? People. Why conflict? You know, when Jesus came to earth, the world was one big mess. And he just walked everywhere and brought peace and truth and light and love. And he's the one that walks into your life and brings peace between you and him. Hopefully in time he brings you peace between you and you. And Jesus speaks for you to bring peace into the world. And he tells you to be at peace with other people as much as it's up to you. A tool that I use to try to help in this principle is I write Philemon letters. And maybe you're sitting here today and you immediately have a person in your mind that you're not cool with. And maybe you're the one that did something wrong. Maybe you need to write them a Philemon and honor them and say, man, I think I need to own my part in what's going on between us, and I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? Honor them again and say, if you ever want to talk about this, I'd love to meet for coffee or whatever. I mean, and then it's cool because when they come together, they already know what you're thinking and what's going on. I've seen God use Philemon letters in my life a lot, and maybe as you read Philemon, you might smile and go, this is brilliant. I've done this before, and the people have been double mad at me for writing the letter. That's okay. I get it. It's cool. You know what's really cool about this letter? When you read at the very end of this letter, when you read the book of Acts, there's nothing but conflict in the church. You read the book of Acts, there's conflict between believers in chapter 7 over Hellenistic Jews and Hebronic Jews. There's conflict all through the book of Acts. God moves, there's conflict. There was a conflict that happened once. The Apostle Paul gets saved. You've heard his story. And him and Barnabas goes all throughout the Roman world preaching Jesus. And they're missionaries and they're planting churches. This is before Paul was arrested. And one time, Paul and Barnabas took a guy named Mark with them. And as Mark went with them for a while, something happened and Mark chickened out, did something. We don't know what happened. And Mark left Paul and Barnabas and went back to Jerusalem. Some people think he went back because God was calling him to write the gospel of Mark. Hello, anyone? But there a conflict arose because after Paul and Barnabas did these missionary journeys, they're ready to go back out again. And Paul goes, let's go. He's a type A driver. You've met these people? And Barnabas says, let's go and let's bring Mark with us again. And Paul says, I'm not bringing that guy again. He left us the last time. I'm not taking him with me. Barnabas says, we're going to take him with me. Listen to this. Acts 15, 36 to 39. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. And Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, John Mark, along with them. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work, and there occurred such a sharp disagreement. Did you know there can be sharp disagreements in the church? This is between the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And they're fighting. And in such a disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Conflict. Did you read Philemon? Well, I just read Philemon. Did you notice when Paul says at the end of Philemon, I greet you, Epaphras greets you, and all this, he goes, Mark greets you. Mark's here with me in Rome, and he's my fellow worker. Did you know that in time they work this out? You work things out. Paul wasn't perfect. Barnabas wasn't perfect. Mark's not perfect. You're not perfect. Shh. Don't tell anybody. You're not perfect. You say things you wish you hadn't said. You do things you wish you hadn't have done. Paul was that way. But you know what's really cool? Paul and Mark and Barnabas had their disagreements as believers, but their love for God and their love for each other won over, and they moved past it. They communicated. They forgave. It probably took some time, but they moved past it. They moved past it. Friends, there is no peace in this world, it seems. You know, Jesus says, I leave you. Peace I leave with you. I want it. Peace, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, the night before he went to the cross. I'm giving you my peace. This peace comes to you from me as I hung on the cross for your sins. My peace I leave with you. Between you and God, God's good with you through Christ. My peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Yeah, no kidding. Did you know the world's not going to give you any peace? It's just a mess. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid because, dude, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Is the peace of Christ ruling in your heart? I've been fighting to stir in this verse this week. God, I have peace with you. I watch the news. I see what's going on in the world, and there's nothing that's good. sadness, chaos. And yet, as a Christian, I should be a person of peace between me and God, between me and myself. I should be an ambassador of peace to the world through the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And I should be at peace with all people as much as it's up to me. I learn to forgive people. I pray that we can be reconciled. And there's people that I get it. If be at peace as long as it's up to you, if possible. There's some people you can never have peace with. I understand that. But there are some people that you might have peace with if you just tried. If you just would say the words, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And if they would just say the words, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? There should be peace. There's some prayer tents that's going to be outside. And it might be here today and you might be going, you know, man, I'm hearing this and God's speaking to me. There's somebody I need to have peace with. The pastor's going to be out there. Maybe you want someone to pray for you over something that's gone on. We can pray for that. Maybe you're here today and you need peace with God. They'll explain to you how to accept Jesus in your life and make sure that you and God are okay, which is most important. So there's some prayer tents out there, and if you need prayer, it's there for you. Do you know this whole thing? I love it when Paul says, man, learn grace. Grace means unmerited favor. You don't deserve the blood of Jesus. You just get it because of God's love for you. We're going to end this service by singing the song Amazing Grace, because you've been saved by grace, not because of your good works, not because you deserve it, not because God's lucky to have you on his team. Are you kidding me? God loves you so much that he sent his son into the world that you would have peace with him through Christ. Jesus pays for all the stuff that you've done in your life that offends him. God's holy, and God makes you holy so you can be with him in Christ. So we're going to sing the song Amazing Grace. And you know what? As we sing this song, would you just ask, Lord, is there anybody in my life that I need to be reconciled with? Is there anybody in life right now, Lord, that I am not at peace with and I need to bring peace with that, Lord? And just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. There might be people that God's like, nah, let it go, man. Or God might say, nah, you need to work this out. Hey, Paul and Barnabas, work this out. You guys are leaders in the church, right? Hey, Mark, go back again. It's all good. Conflict happens. Father, I pray that you would use this message for your glory. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would take this amazing letter of Philemon and that, God, you would help us to stir in the brilliance of this letter and the heart that this letter is written from. And look how the Apostle Paul took a very bad situation and with one letter began to bring incredible harmony and unity and love and peace into a chaotic situation. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn how to be peacemakers. Jesus, I pray that you would help us to learn how to bring peace to this world that's an absolute mess. Lord, I pray that you would help us to put on the gospel of peace and walk as peacemakers in this world. And Lord, if we have issues with other, especially brothers or sisters in Christ, Jesus, would you help us to bring peace between this on this side of heaven and not the other? God, as much as it's up to us, would you teach us how to be at peace with all people? And even if we can't reconcile with people, teach us still how to forgive so we can go to bed at night and have peace in our thoughts. Amazing grace. Thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that falls upon us this glorious day. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all those who love the Lord would say what? Amen. Let's stand.